Thank you. Welcome to Easter worship here at McFarland. It's a great and glorious Easter day. My name is Rockford Johnson. I serve as senior pastor here, and we are just delighted to be connected with you. Welcome, guests. Welcome, everyone. Please let us know you're worshiping with us in the ways that you can through Facebook or our website, and send us your prayer requests and concerns and celebrations also through the front page of our website at that red prayer request button. And we'll appreciate you doing that so that we can pray with you and for you, even as today we celebrate this grand and glorious Easter day. Now join me in the Easter greeting. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Would you now join with me in our Easter affirmation of faith? We belong to God, eternal and infinite, creator of all things and all that is to come. We follow Christ, who comes to us from God and reveals God to us. He heals people and transforms lives and calls us to join in his ministry. He was crucified, died, and was raised again by God and reigns over all creation. And he bids us to die and rise with him in the service of the healing of the world. We are moved by the Holy Spirit together with the communion of saints as members of the body of Christ, God's holy universal church. We are confident in the forgiveness of sin, the power of resurrection, and the reality of eternal life. In all things, it is our desire to follow Christ by the grace of the Holy Spirit for God's glory. Amen.
So good to worship together on this most holy day of the year and to offer God our very best. As we thank God for all that we have been given, I want to remind you that you can get your phone out at this time and give your tithe and your offering through our app or our website, or you can mail your gift into the church. I also want to remind you that we take up a special Easter offering every year that supports our Thursday Utility Assistance Ministry. Our goal this year is $40,000, and if you'd like to give to that ministry today, you can also give online or on our app. or mail your gift into the church. Just be sure to designate your gift for our Easter offering. And let us pray together. Holy and eternal God, we celebrate that Christ our Lord is risen. And today reminds us that there is always hope and dreams can come true. We do not have to fear the worst, for Christ goes before us and remains with us. The journey has been long, and we know that it does not end here, but rather we are given new marching orders to go forth in confidence for God, to witness to the good news of the resurrection and the power of God's love in Jesus Christ. We're called to be bearers of the light and hope to areas in which darkness still stands. And so, God, keep us open to the needs and the hearts of other people. Help us not to be so quick to condemn as we are to love. Help us to reach out in kindness and compassion whenever and wherever we can for healing and hope. Remind us again of the many ways in which you have and continue to bless our lives. And bless the tithes and the offerings that we give today and use them to bring hope and new life to those in need. Oh God, we ask all of these things in the name of the resurrected Christ, and we pray together the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
scripture reading today comes from Luke 24. We'll be reading verses 1 through 5, 33 through 36, and 45 through 48. Won't you hear this Easter message? But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling cloths stood before them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." And then skipping to verses 33, later that day, two disciples who had left town sad and defeated then caught a glimpse of Jesus, got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 disciples and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road to Emmaus and how Jesus had been made known to him in the breaking of the bread, but quickly vanished. While they were all talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God of hope and assurance, of challenge and mission, open our minds to the good news of resurrection. Cause our hearts to burn with the joy beyond sorrow and with confidence about tomorrow as together we experience your living presence that rises fresh like morning out of Holy Scripture by the work of your Spirit. Amen. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright, who also served as a bishop for a while in the Church of England, often tells this story. "We were stuck in London traffic, and the taxi driver looked back at me in his mirror, and seeing my bishop's shirt, the purple shirt and collar and cross, his face was a mixture of amusement and sympathy. 'Ah, bishop you are,' he said. 'You Church of England people, you're still having all that trouble about women being bishops, aren't you?'" Wright says, "I had to admit that that was indeed the case." And then the driver said, "The way I look at it is this. If God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the rest of it is all rock and roll, isn't it?" The message of the resurrection is the quintessential affirmation of our faith. It gives birth to the church. It launches the good news of the love of God for the world. It is the magnet that connects us, the hope that knits us together, and the affirmation that assures us of life together forever. But while millions are repeating alleluias today, who was there when he rose up from the grave? Nobody. In the Gospels, no human is there. None of those who watched the spectacle of his death, not the women who attended the burial and would come later, not the disciples, not the friends, not the people, not the religious leaders, not the soldier who acclaimed Jesus as innocent, and in this gospel, no soldiers guarding the tomb. Luke mentions no one. Would not a public resurrection like the public crucifixion have made hope invincible and faith inevitable? Perhaps. But what we have here is a story in which people witness the burial, but no one sees the rising. God does not wait for an audience or a crowd. The rising sun of creation greets the rising sun of new life at the earliest lift of the darkness, before anybody shows up. Doubt, fear, dismay, and confusion set in among the followers of Jesus, and it's perpetuated by their isolated and disconnected experiences. In the story that follows, the women report what the glowing messenger said, but the band of deflated followers dismiss it as idle talk or wishful thinking. Peter goes alone, sees the empty tomb, sees the empty linen wrappings, but he neither sees nor hears the angels. And so he goes home to be alone with his own stuff, amazed, perhaps better translated, dazed, wondering what actually happened. Like Peter, two other followers go home to their town of Emmaus and catch a quick glimpse of Jesus. It's convincing, but so quick as probably to leave some doubt in their minds. Their miracle appearance of Jesus, though profound and gripping, quickly vanishes. Finally, Luke, skilled writer that he is, narrates a scene that shows us where we can find hope restored. It is when all testimony converges in a gathering of disciples. There are the 11 and all of their companions, perhaps as many as 120 or so. There's the two who went to Emmaus and recognized Jesus when he broke bread, and the place is buzzing with conversation and reports that Simon has now witnessed an appearance of Jesus. They are swapping stories and ramping up to the conclusion, the Lord is risen indeed. But they're not quite there. It is in this convergence of a variety of witnesses, including Luke's intended readers, we are brought into the room with this scripture. It's in this setting that hope is restored in a dramatic and compelling way. While they are talking and sharing, Jesus shows up. Now they are startled and terrified as they would have been if they had been there when the stone moved and Jesus rose. Now they are filled with a mixture of joy and skeptical amazement, we're told. But in this gathering, Jesus proclaims peace and assurance. He shows up to settle their shock and terror, their fears and grief, and most of all, to assure them that God's forgiveness creates a new era, a new community, the church that will be alive with the Spirit of the risen Jesus and centered in the table of holy bread and around the words of Holy Scripture. A church that will share and expand hope for centuries to come, all the way down to April 4, 2021. So today, once again, our resurrection faith calls us together to find peace and assurance for our hearts, our lives, our doubts, our fears. Assurance for tomorrow, even though we have been separated and disturbed for over a year now, and still are in many ways. Faith joins us to celebrate all the ways and times we have been both forgiven and assured by sharing our experiences of God together. Our faith also connects us today in a way that generates energy for the established and the emerging ways that we, the church, extend the witness and the message of Jesus. So, in the spirit of celebration and of our being commissioned as witnesses to resurrection power, both in what we say and what we do, let me try to give witness briefly to all the good that God has done through the church since that first Easter. Yes, over the centuries, the church has often stumbled, gotten it wrong, and had to repent and be reformed. But also over the centuries, the church has fed the hungry, cared for the sick and dying, built hospitals and universities, advocated for justice and peace, influenced the changing of laws and policies and practices to bring freedom and care to the oppressed, the enslaved, and in many ways to countless children, families, and communities. The church has baptized millions through forgiveness into faith and action, nurtured them in the faith, rescued the perishing, cared for the dying, and snatched them in compassion from sin and grave destruction. Just to illustrate the impact of the church, last year during the year of pandemic, McFarland provided food assistance totaling approximately 512,000 pounds in 11,000 boxes to over 2,000 families, or almost 7,000 persons. And if we scale that to 100 years, it would be almost 700,000 persons in 213,000 families receiving over 50 million pounds of food. And if we scaled it to the next 1,000 years, just half of what the church has been here for the last 2,000 years, 1,000 years, then there would be 51 billion pounds of food feeding 213 million families. And that is just one church out of about 37 million churches celebrating Easter around the globe today. And one church, as a part of a church that goes back 2,000 years and looks to the future far beyond what we can imagine today. Peace is delivered. Assurance arrives. Loving forgiveness changes the lives of people. God shows up, and hope emerges when God's Easter people converge to combine our active faith, give witness, take action, and practice resurrection. And even while the pandemic rises and falls, and no matter how long this time of trial persists, and even while there is always trouble and jeopardy of all kinds, large and small, personal and collective, nevertheless, with the power of resurrection faith, I do believe that we can dare to say that we are ready, perhaps in a pipe organ and trumpet kind of way, to rock and roll as the church of Jesus Christ. Imagine the future, Easter people. Imagine it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Let us pray. And now to you, O God, who by your power at work within us are able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
and pray and believe that your Easter will be blessed in so many ways as you celebrate the resurrection of Christ in all kinds of ways with you and your family. And now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.